Welcome, everyone. I'd like to call this joint meeting to order with the Goleta Union School District Board and the Goleta City Council. Welcome to our guests. First, I would like to ask Mr. Banning if he would please call order.
Okay. We'll start with the school board. Luz Reyes-Martin.
Here.
Corinne Azal.
Here.
Richard Mayer.
Here.
Susan Epstein.
Here.
Shalay Zhang here.
Here.
Paula Perotti, Mayor.
Here.
Stuart Kasdan, Mayor Pro Tem.
Here.
Roger Aceves, Council Member.
Here.
Michael Bennett, absent. Kyle Richards.
Here.
Thank you. And now our clerk, Rich Mayer, will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and again, a welcome to our guests. We're really glad that we are finally having this joint board meeting and hope to hear a lot of great news and have some great dialogue between the two bodies. I'd like to point out that the artwork you see behind us is from Hollister School. And we routinely rotate the artwork that we have up to represent each of our schools, I believe on a monthly basis or somewhat of a monthly basis, but this is a great representation of the kinds of projects that our students do. A reminder that this meeting is being videotaped for future broadcast and also audio recorded. Do we have any public comment cards? I don't believe so. Thank you. So we will move into our topics for this meeting, and we'll start with the City of Goleta Recreation Needs Assessment, current programming overview, and opportunities for joint use of recreation facilities.
Madam President, thank you once again for inviting us to participate in this joint meeting today, and we're very proud and excited to present to you on this topic of our rec needs assessment. Our staff member who will be taking the lead in this presentation is Vito Adamitis. He does have a PowerPoint that he'll walk both the board and the city council through. And then, as you noted, the purpose is for discussion, so we'll be available to answer questions and then to have the board and the council engage in discussion with one another. So that was our plan. With that, I'd like to hand it over to Mr. Adamitis.
Thank you. Please go up to the podium.
Madam Board President, members of the school board, and Madam Mayor, members of the City Council, good morning. We're really pleased to be here today to present this brief PowerPoint for you on an important topic at the city. We have a recreation needs assessment, which is a guide and implementation tool for the management and development of parks and recreational facilities and programs for the city. Beyond this, it's also a foundational document for the city used to plan ahead, to look at what our current needs are in the area of recreation and look at our facilities and look at our infrastructure. And really, it's a 20-year look ahead into the future. So it's really a foundational document. This document was adopted by the City Council on May 5th of 2015. And as I mentioned, the 20-year horizon includes an estimated $15 million in capital costs. Our existing recreation resources is the city has 21 parks with over 475 acres of parkland. We are working on Hollister Kellogg Park, which is in Old Town, and this would be the 22nd park in the city of Goleta. And it's really the first newly designed park from the ground up. It's a 4-acre site, and I have some more info for you. I'll share with you about that project. Just last month, the city, applied to the state Housing and Community Development Department for a housing and related parks program grant. This grant provides funding opportunities to help develop neighborhood parks. And we'll know hopefully by June if we were able to be selected for this grant. But the grant opportunity provides funding to the city almost $600,000. And it's an important opportunity for us to do some things in Old Town. This is a site plan layout of the Hollister Kellogg Park that I mentioned. It's at 170 Kellogg Avenue, just north of Hollister and Kellogg. As you can see from the site plan, it includes a number of important amenities for the neighborhood. It includes a soccer and multi-use field, picnic areas, a playground for the kids, a basketball flex court, bocce ball courts, a handball court. It has a bike path along the eastern edge of the property. Okay, I need to pull out my little pointer. There is a bike path along here. So it really is a truly a neighborhood park that covers a broad range of age groups. So people with little kids can use the park, as well as everybody, you know, wanting to ride their bike or play a game of hoops. And importantly, it also includes the first ever skateboard plaza. I hope some of you will come out and take a look at this once it's built. And you may even try it. I know some of the students here will be interested in it. But it's really the first skateboard plaza designed, again, from the ground up. And it was originally 3,600 square feet in size, and it was increased to 5,400 square feet to accommodate some of the amenities that you see here before you. And it really will be a tremendous amenity for the kids and the neighborhood. The grant that we applied for just last month will help take the underutilized playfield over at the community center. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this location. It is an underutilized field. And so what is hoped is with the funds that we get from the state, we will turn this into a usable playing field for many kids. To include irrigation, to include lots of upgrades. This area has a lot of gopher holes in it that we're going to address as part of the improvements. So we're really looking forward to seeing this come forth. What's important about this site also is it was shovel ready. In other words, it's a site that the city already owns. It's a site that is clearly in need of some upgrades. And it was just the timing of all this that came together was really fortuitous for everybody involved. On the recreation needs priorities, so this document really identified a number of priorities for the city, for the community. You see them listed here, bike paths and trails, baseball and soccer fields, hiking trails. We also looked at teen and senior facilities at the Civic Center. The skate park, we're hoping to address at Hollister Kellogg Park. Also high on the list was the swimming pool aquatic center. And the final item, pursuing joint use agreements and MOUs for the use of recreation facilities with the schools. That was seen as an item of like low-hanging fruit in the document, which is, you know, the great relationship that we already have with the school district seemed like a great opportunity to take existing facilities that are being perhaps underutilized and help expand those opportunities for the kids and members of the community through this joint use agreement. These are some of the completed projects that the city has been working on. As I mentioned previously, Hollister Kellogg Park. Last year, we redid the Evergreen Tennis Courts. We also, in the past, did the Civic Center feasibility study, looking at that location for expanded opportunities for the community, as well as a Civic Center. We're reviewing with the Department of Public Works, who is a partner with my department in working on so many of these projects, the irrigation at city parks, looking at trails at the Elwood Mesa, the Hollister Class 1 bikeway, as well as the Ward Drive bike lanes and the San Jose Creek bike paths. We also implemented a one-year pilot program for pickleball. I don't know if any of you play pickleball, but it's a growing sport, 2 to 4 players, and it combines the elements of ping pong, tennis, and badminton. There are roughly 150,000 people nationwide that are in this sport, and it's really, I'd like to go out there and check it out, because I've heard that it can be pretty involved and a great source of physical activity for a lot of folks. We had the first ever First Youth and Family Services Roundtable in February, bringing service providers together to share and work collaboratively. As I mentioned, we're close to final design on the Hollister Kellogg Park. We submitted a grant for active recreation at the community center. And we're also working with Public Works to replace play structures at 5 locations in the city. This would include Andamar Park, San Miguel Park, Santa Barbara Shores Park, and Winchester 1 and 2 parks. So the next steps for 2017, we have roughly internally and working with the commission, 5 goals. The completion of the joint use agreements, the pilot project for pickleball begins, which we've already started. The community garden plan, we're looking to complete that this year. And we're already underway with the playground equipment and replacement plan, which, by the way, includes a community outreach component where we're talking to residents of those areas where the parks are to get their feedback on what kind of playground equipment they're looking for. And lastly, the active use park at the Goleta Valley Community Center. So we get to the joint use agreements. So as we talk about this, there are 2 school districts within the city of Goleta boundaries, the Goleta Union School District and the Santa Barbara Unified School District. Combined, these 2 school districts account for 4 elementary schools, a junior high, and a high school, a total of 6 school facilities. Currently, the city does not have a joint use agreement with the schools, although we've had the initiation of some discussions with both superintendents from the school districts. And what this does is it creates opportunities to expand and enhance recreational opportunities for kids, residents, the community, not only during weekends and the evenings, but also during the summer months. As I mentioned, we have a total of 6 schools in the city boundaries, ranging in size from a little over 8 acres at Brandon to over 77 acres at Dos Pueblos. And Dos Pueblos is really the only school site that has synthetic turf and lighted facilities. The other schools have a series of uses that involve playgrounds, basketball courts, tot lots, and also handball courts. So this could add to the offering of recreational opportunities to residents and kids in the community. And just a map just showing the layout of the schools. So as we start to the left here on the map, Elwood School, Brandon, Dos Pueblos, Goleta Valley Junior High, and La Patera and Kellogg, total of 6 schools. We are working really hard this year to really bring forth a number of the items in the recreation needs assessment. And one of the things that is not on my PowerPoint that I really wanted to share with the group today is, importantly, last November, we brought on board our first Parks and Recreation Manager, Joanne Plummer. So she's not here today. She's at a conference, but I'm going to talk about her in her absence, that she has really already hit the ground running in helping to implement the recreation needs assessment with the all the work that's out there. And she's also tracked down the grant literally, you know, on the heels of her arrival. She was able to find a grant to help us take that underutilized field at the community center and turn it into a usable park site. This concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have. I know you have questions for me.
I saw something in the timeline that I didn't see you mention earlier, which was the community garden.
Yes.
Where is that?
It's still in the formative stage because we're focusing on trying to get all these other activities and projects moving forward, but it's definitely something that came up in the recreation needs assessment. And it's not only the design that goes into that type of a project, but also the ongoing work to maintain it and properly upkeep it.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify also, I'm not familiar with it being new, I guess. So are these just, is that the community gardens, are those tied to particular locations already that you have in mind? There's particular sites where you say we're going to put in community gardens, or is it a general goal for the various pocket parks that we're going to look as one of its purposes could be community gardens?
We haven't set yet on the exact location. A number of folks have talked about Armidos Park, which is in Old Town. It's already there. It certainly could be one of the sites. I think the idea of the community garden is to offer up another opportunity for folks who want to go to a community garden and participate with others in a group where they're cultivating, you know, and they're growing fruits and vegetables, and that opportunity to interact with other members of the community. So the community garden plan is important, but like I said, beyond the design, it's also important that we consider the ongoing upkeep and maintenance of that type of facility.
I had another question also. So the schools, the playgrounds, the public uses them already as far as in the area. In Elwood School, people, at when school ends, the neighborhood, they'll go to the school to use the area. So is what you have in mind, is what you're talking about sort of for sort of incorporating it in our inventory for more active programming, like on the weekends, then they would look at it in AYSO, and that would be a spot that to just bring it more into our panoply of
yes.
resources?
The short answer is yes. The most common use involved in joint use agreements with school districts just across, you know, across the state has been AYSO, where they involve, but there's also inclusive of other sports, which includes baseball and lots of other activities. So it's pretty common. And I might add, the joint use agreements sometimes can get pretty creative, where you can actually participate together in the development of a Boys and Girls Club or a gymnasium or something that benefits both the school and the community at large. There's lots of examples out there that we've seen. It just needs to be tailor-made for what we're trying to accomplish here.
And they sometimes involve waiving of fees. So although the community can use our facilities, you know, our fields at certain hours, there are charges sometimes to rent a space indoors at our site. And the city will charge park fees, you know, if you want to reserve an area for a picnic or a party. And so we have in the past had agreements where we've waived those.
I'd like to go back just for a brief second on the community gardens. It's something that's near and dear to my heart. We've been talking about it for a while, and I do understand that there is funding put aside for it. And now that we have a Parks and Rec manager, that might be more, it might move forward a little bit quicker because we have the manpower to kind of oversee it. Am I correct? Or is it just looking for a site?
With Ms. Plummer coming on board, that is one of the projects that she will be working on directly to make happen. And even though she's not here, I'm volunteering her. I'm assigning her to
this
project. But we're really excited because she has a tremendous background in this area, and I'm confident that we'll get lots of progress to report back to you on
this.
All
right, that's great to hear. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, one of the issues that has been coming up before regarding the playground equipment replacement plan and the parks, the open spaces that we're looking at, in particular the grant for the Goleta Valley Community Center, is the issue of artificial turf and recycled rubber
yes.
placemats for
yes.
under them. And I know that that's something that we've been looking into, and I just wanted to provide an opportunity for you to talk about where we are with that at this point.
Yes, sir. Thank you. The issue of artificial turf has come up in as a health concern, and the EPA is conducting a study right now that is analyzing the health impacts of the use of artificial turf and other components and other materials that are used in playgrounds. So prior to the utilization of any of these materials in any of the new parks that get developed or any of the new playgrounds that we replace existing play services with, poured in place is one of the examples where they use different types of rubber material, in some cases chrome rubber from recycled tires. We're waiting that report from the EPA in June to make sure that the application of these materials are in fact safe for us to be using. As many folks know, sand has been a problem in the past, utilization of sand, and using services that are more cushioning for the kids to be able to play on. So this is on our radar. We've been working with our public works director, Ms. Gaglione, to keep an eye on this. And as soon as we have that report, we'll be happy to review it further and share the findings that came out of that. But it's something that cities all over are looking at very closely.
Thank you.
I think we've used bark at times in some of our playgrounds. It's another alternative.
Yes.
Councilmember Seven.
Thank you. Our city also belongs to a joint powers insurance agency, so all these cities in the state are looking at what they can use and what our insurance will actually cover, which is the bottom line. EPA, what they're doing, I'm not familiar with it. There are a lot of artificial turf facilities in our community, City College being one of the biggest ones. You know, that's a conversation for another day. What I did want to mention, though, you know, this is my 11th year on the city council, and a lot of this stuff we've been talking about for a long time. But what's important to note is that now we need to take it to the level where we talk to our partners. What are your needs? And how does this fit with your needs, and how can we work together? Joint powers agreements is nothing more than sharing liability for the use of the facilities. Could be inside, could be outside. But if we're not meeting the needs for our community as far as our recreation needs, our meeting needs, and if we don't do it together, then we're losing a great opportunity. So I hope you take this back and whatever committees you have, look at it and work with our staff and see what comes out of this as far as a joint conversation. Thank you.
I appreciate your presentation, too, and kind of brainstorming a little bit about what a joint use agreement might look like. And it's the same kids we're talking about to go to Goleta schools and that live in Goleta and play in the parks. And I know that our school sites are essentially parks, and they're very heavily used now. And it would be great to have some coordination, see if we can maximize the resources
exactly.
of people in our community.
Exactly. I think that's the goal that we all share, is the opportunity to partner up with the school district and really provide a benefit to the kids in the community by working together and just being more efficient in the way we, you know, do that and provide a service. As we saw, you have six school sites. There are four that belong to the Goleta Union School District, but two for Santa Barbara. But they're really all in the city, and most people don't make the distinction between one school district to the next, mm-hmm. especially if they live next door to it. So it's really a good step forward for, I think, everybody that's involved. Before I forget, I just wanted to mention something. There is a splash pad included in the Hollister-Kellogg design. Mm-hmm. while there are current water restrictions that prevent us from being able to activate such a amenity, the proposed Hollister Kellogg Park will include the infrastructure for that pad to be built in. So when the water restrictions get lifted, we can all go out there and see it being used heavily, because we know and we heard from the rec needs assessment that a lot of people really wanted that. A lot of kids were really excited about that opportunity.
If you don't mind me commenting on that, this summer I was in the East Coast, and they have that in a lot of their parks, because a lot of kids don't have access to pools or the beach, and it was a tremendous joy to see kids running through in the summer hot months and parents being a part of it. It was really, I actually am ecstatic about this park. I can't wait to be a visitor. So thank you for the ingenuity and the creativity in this. I think you took into consideration the multi-needs and age groups. I think there will be something for everyone. This is a really dynamic park. Thank you.
You know, it's great to have been through this community process. There were lots of community workshops. Ms. Reyes-Martin, board president Reyes-Martin, was the staff member at the city in my department who oversaw the actual work that produced the recreation needs assessment. And we were out in the community talking to the residents and hearing from the kids and hearing from the parents. Sometimes we were having multiple discussions with people in Spanish and English, and you know, it was like we were changing channels in the same conversation. But the beauty of that is what you see here today is really a reflection of the input that was provided by the community. Councilmember Richards, who was on our Parks Commission, can attest to the involved participation that we had from the residents who showed up at all the meetings that we had. So it was truly a community effort where you have something that there was buy-in from the community, and it carries that much more value because it's a reflection of the input that we received. So we're just pleased to be here today to give you an update on all these exciting things that are going on, and we look forward to being able to report back to you at some point in the future where we're at.
Mr. Adamaitis, is there a timeline for the park to start?
We are pushing as hard as we can. This site is, we're working with the state on this site and getting the clearance to move forward with the development of the park. We also have a Prop 84 grant that the city competed for competitively and obtained almost $1 million, in fact, $925,000 for the development of that park. So we're excited and looking forward to getting this thing going as quickly as possible.
Thank you. Thank you. I think we have a couple more questions.
Yeah, there was just one point in particular I wanted to mention about this, and you mentioned it, you touched on it, Mr. Adamaitis, but the bike path. So the bike path that is proposed, it's not there right yet, but the San Jose Creek bike and pedestrian mm-hmm. path will eventually, once it's completed, connect to the other side of the freeway. It'll go underneath the railroad tracks and the freeway and come up on Calle Real on the other side. So mm-hmm. this will be, you know, extremely, as you mentioned, dynamic. And once it's all completed, it'll be really a central part of the community and connecting Old Town Goleta to the other side of the freeway, which is a huge obstacle at the moment.
Great. Yeah. So I think we've talked about, in particular, emphasized the playgrounds and the potential uses of the playgrounds. Are there structures or other sorts of facilities that also are being contemplated?
As part of the recreation needs assessment, there were analyses conducted into facilities, and that was part of the recreation needs assessment, to really be able to, in the future, accommodate the recreation needs that are present in the city. So that was part of it. Also included as part of the recreation needs assessment was also the maintenance of efforts and looking at the fields, trying to find ways to increase efficiency as how we irrigate, how we maintain, and keeping all of those things on an ongoing basis in the best condition that they can be.
Mr. Manning?
I just wanted to add a bit of perspective on the joint use agreement, since that's the first goal on the next steps list. One of the things that we're doing currently is internally taking a look at our facilities use agreements and our policies around that. As has been mentioned, our fields get enormous use. We have agreements with AYSO and Little League, and one of the things that a joint use agreement in my previous experience has been not just organizing and sequencing events and maximizing the use, but actually mutual benefit in terms of the possibility of support with maintenance and irrigation and things like that on fields. And it's not always a joint use agreement that is between a school district and a city. I have an experience where a joint use agreement existed between a Little League and the school district, and as a result, the field that they used was continually upgraded and reseeded and irrigation taken care of. So there's a lot of opportunities of terms of in-kind here. So I would just encourage both the board and the council, as they're thinking about developing joint use, that it's not just about sequencing who can do what where, but how can we mutually benefit from a partnership? Because it is something that, even when written well, if poorly executed, can be a source of frustration for both entities. So I would really ask that as the conversation goes on, that there's some real careful delineation and expectations, and that execution is put at a top priority. Also, wanted to share that in the past couple of years, we have expanded our care program after school. We're not just schools that have ACES programs, but all of our schools now have an opportunity for after school care. And in the longer range vision of that, we're looking at increasing the students' access to recreational and enrichment activities within that, so that it isn't just dependent upon what a particular PTA at a school is providing, but something the district can have as a centralized authority. So we've been talking about parks and fields, but I think the idea of recreation is another area where we may be able to do some partnering.
Thank you. I was wondering if the recreation needs assessment looked at the needs of older children, like teenagers, youth. And I saw, obviously, the skate park and the soccer fields could be used by older, by teenagers. But I was wondering about any indoor space. I know City of Santa Barbara has, like a music studio or metalworking or woodwork, or, other kinds of ways that youth might want to hang out when they're older.
Yes, the recreation needs assessment did look at various age groups, and it was identified as part of the projects an expanded teen and also senior center,
right.
Other types of programming efforts related to these age groups. So it was really looked at a broad spectrum of age groups, mm-hmm. so that nobody was left out of the consideration or the analysis that was conducted.
And are there next steps for you?
We have a number of next steps, some of which are here for this year, but really it's a 20-year document looking out into the future. And what we're doing is we're pairing the goals with the existing resources that we have to implement them. So we do that within the resources that are allocated, and that we do that in a timely manner for implementation and completion. So it's a 20-year document that we'll be talking about for a long time. There will be much more to come.
Okay, I was just thinking it could be another form of joint use with one, either the secondary or elementary district.
Sure.
Because we do, I think originally there was a thought of that being at the community center or in the.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I know that's kind of been postponed, but it could be those kinds of facilities for youth could be at existing school sites.
And as we saw with the underutilized playfield at the community center, that was a site that, and a grant opportunity that popped up. It wasn't on our radar. We were notified of it, and we found a site that was ready to go, and we put in. So here we have another opportunity.
So I know, I guess this is more for the superintendent. I've seen in various schools that there are some after school commercially, like in the summer, I think Discovery, something, some sort of educational kind of thing, but private. And how did they contact you? Is there some sort of list of resources that
outside entities are able to look and see, or do they just kind of word of mouth know that there's opportunities here?
Well, it's a very timely question, because the answer has been up until recently that these were things that were kind of, if someone wanted to run a summer program in our schools, they would contact typically the school first and find out if there was availability, and then our facilities use department or was part of maintenance and operations, and we keep calendars and that kind of thing, and there are regulations about who can use the facilities and what the charges are and so forth. Another way that this would happen during the school year is when particular PTAs or schools had connections to activities that they felt would be beneficial for the kids, and they have invited those vendors, if you will, to come in and run programs after school. What we're looking at is trying to centralize that a little bit more to develop exactly what you've talked about, which is a central list of resources and what are the, rather than what vendors want to come in, what interest is there from the schools about the types of things that they want. And part of what we hope to be bringing before our board is some revision of facility use policies and things associated with our after-school programming that will say, let's allow the development of a partnership with an agency that wants to come in, that meets our needs, and look at some sort of commitment toward scholarships and support for kids that might not be able to afford it in exchange for some kind of a pricing structure on our facilities that are appropriate when they're cooperating, as opposed to just somebody that comes in and says, I would like to run this program, what does it cost me to do that? So it's a timely question, something we're paying some attention to.
Well, because one thing that struck me is that, there's a million websites that for hotels, for instance, and so forth, where you can see what sort of rooms are available and what the prices are and what the conditions are. And it would seem like a potentially appropriate thing for when we're looking at our combined inventory to say, your resources are available summer and weekends for the most part, and we have facilities available, I don't know which, we have some in Old Town, but we have different pieces of property that we can say, here's available for this type of use, these purposes, and that can help fund other activities that we think a priority. Something to consider for this effort.
Absolutely.
Thank you. If there are no other questions, thank you, Mr. Adamidis.
Thank you for having us.
And we will move right along to an update on residential development in Goleta. Ms. Green, would you like to introduce?
Yes, thank you, Madam President. For this item, we will have our Interim Planning Director, Lisa Prossi, provide an update on what developments are recently completed and what are under construction and what are on the horizon.
Great. Good morning, Madam President and Madam Mayor and council members and board members. City Manager Green mentioned, I'm going to just give you a brief update on where projects are. I thought you'd be interested in the residential projects, because I know as the residential projects get constructed, the children will be coming into the schools. And so I numbered them based on, they're not in any normal, east to west or north and south. It's based on the order in which we anticipate them being completed, because I know that's how the children will be coming into the school district. So the first two are ones that have already been completed, and the first one is at the Hideaway, and the second one is at Hollister Village. The Hideaway, it was 101 units, and that was completed roughly about 2 years ago. And then Hollister Village Apartments, that was completed just about a year ago. I think full occupancy occurred about a year ago, and that was for 266 apartments. And I will say that on the handout that I gave you, we listed what we believe to be the attendance areas. I thought that would be important for you. Hopefully we got them close to being correct. I won't say they're 100%, but we think they're pretty close. So those are the two projects that you probably if there have been children that have moved into those areas, you probably have seen them come into your schools. The next group of projects, there's projects three through six, are the ones that are presently under construction at this point in time. And anticipate you could start seeing, well, occupancy on what is Villages at Los Caneros. And I am having a hard time seeing it from, I think it's right here. That project is a total of 465 units. They have building permits for roughly half at this point in time. And the first set of units to be occupied are could be within the next couple months. And then you're going to see, we're going to see units being completed probably over the next couple of years as they get building permits and move forward. The other project that's under construction is way over here. It's over here in Old Town. It's what we call Old Town Village. It's what was the Page site. That's for 175 townhomes. They just started construction, so they're probably 18 months to 2 years out before they'll have full occupancy. The other project that's under construction is way over here, back north of the freeway. It's on like Calarreal, near the intersection of Calarreal and Elwood Station Road. That one's for 10 condominiums. Again, another 18 months, 2 years out before that would probably come online. And then the other one is way over here up at the north part of town, northeast corner. It's called Harvest Hill. That one was a subdivision. It was an existing site that already had one house on it. The gentleman subdivided it into six additional lots. And he's a small builder, and he's kind of building them one at a time. He's already had one completed. I think he sold that one, and he's got another house that's close to being constructed and completed. So we anticipate that'll probably two, 3 years at the rate he's going to getting them completed. Then the next group, actually we have one project, which is right here, what we call Cortona Corners. That's a project that is approved but not yet under construction. I would anticipate that they would be under construction sometime this year. They're in the DRB process right now, and I believe they need to go through building permit and then they can start construction. That one is for 175 apartments. And then the last items are projects numbered 8, 9, 10, and 11. Those are ones that are currently in the city review process. And so we have no time frame when, you know, depending on how those are considered by the city. But those, just briefly, one is Heritage Ridge. It's or what we would call Willow Springs 3 or North Willow Springs. You might know it by different names. That is a project by the Tobes Group. That one is for 365 units, but 132 of them are senior apartments. Not sure how many children will be generated from that, but the balance of the 228 market rate could have children residing in there eventually. And then another project that's in the works is what number 9? Yeah. Hollister Village Apartments. There was, as part of the Hollister Village, there was, if you see the site that's still fenced off, that had been originally slated for about 12,000 square feet of commercial with 5 live work units. There'd been a lawsuit at the time the Hollister Village Apartments was, or sorry, the Hollister Village project was approved, and then it was settled. There was a lawsuit from one of the adjacent neighbors. It was settled, and the part of the settlement was that the property owner would consider pursuing switching that component from commercial and live-work units to a residential project and present that to the city. And they are changing. They're proposing 33 apartments. They would be studio and one bedroom, and it's 16 of one and 17 of the other, and I always get it mixed up which one it is, but it's 33 units. Both Heritage Ridge over here and Hollister Village Apartments, those are very active applications, and I would anticipate those coming to City Council sometime this year. And then depending on the outcome of those projects will depend on how soon or if they go forward in that configuration. Then the other two projects on the list are Kenwood Project and Shelby Project. Both of them are for 60 units. The Kenwood Project here on Cali Real is a mix of single family and townhomes, and the Shelby Project is strictly single family homes. Both of those have issues associated with water, and those are just on hold and aren't at this point in time just on hold and waiting to see what happens. So that's a quick overview of the residential development that's in the works at the city right now, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Questions?
I guess this question would be for the school board of trustees and the superintendent. I'm seeing on this list the possibility of three sites, Villages at Los Caneros, Cortona Apartments, and Heritage Ridge, with the possibility of those children would be going to Isla Vista. Can you give us a rough idea of the numbers, where we're at with Isla Vista right now? And I mean, I guess I would like to hear more information. And the reason I'm asking is that there's always that fear that I have, is that you would have to split the kids. You know, some would go to Elwood maybe, or La Patera, and some would go to Isla Vista. So can you help me figure that
and
out?
And I'd invite Mr. Banning to maybe also share what impacts, if any, we've seen from the Hideaway and
Hollister
Village. Thank you.
Isla Vista is one of our largest physical plant schools and also largest in attendance. It is probably 200 or so students under its highest enrollment from several years ago. But it is one that we're wanting to watch with the generation of students in these new developments. Historically, it appears that in the last decade or so, as homes have come online, the district has not seen significant district-wide impact in growth. As a matter of fact, in the 5 years that I've been here, kind of went up and down, but for the last 2 years, we've seen declines, so that from 2012 to now, the numbers of students are down by about 112 students. And we're actually considering as a district a little bit more formal demographic study that looks at what might be coming down the line that way. The Isla Vista campus, so what we've seen, the Hideaway has generated relatively few students to Elwood. However, we have anecdotal reports from people living there that there are baby strollers around. But in general, Elwood, just for example, the other thing that we're seeing is that there has been some migration out. So we're actually seeing a combination of families leaving the district and families coming in. It does appear that the growth would be impacted more on the western end of the city and less so here, although you've covered the things within the city of Goleta. There is a development off of Patterson where the Christmas tree farm was that will be bringing in maybe a couple hundred homes or 100. But we're balancing that with what's been actually statistically very low generation factors coming out of the homes. And we're looking much more carefully at the Village at Los Caneros because there's a wider range of pricing in those homes. But the ones that are, the pricing is tied into square footage as well. And so those that are affordable are not something they're really gonna, it looks to me like, generate a lot of families. We have met with the salespeople there and have provided them with a survey so that as they're signing contracts, they're able to give us information about what's coming and who's buying and how many kids they have. Other than that, I don't have any real specific projections about Isla Vista in general, but we are aware that population shifts and we're looking at all kinds of options of how we might serve kids in different ways without having to divide them up or say there's no room at a school when you're moving in. That's something the district has never done. So
I guess it's a wait and see who moves in and who has children. I have a question for staff, Ms. Pazzi, on Heritage Ridge and the 132 seniors. What age are you considered a senior at that particular site? I know it's all over Ross. You're 55, you know, and then there's 65 or so. What
are they
looking at?
It's either going to be 55 or 62. There's certain criteria, and it's up to the developer which one they use, but it either would be 55 or 62.
Okay, because the reason I ask that is that I know in what's happening, there's a large movement of grandparents that are caring for their children's children. So, you know, to say that the seniors wouldn't have children, that's they could.
Yeah, <that's>,
thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions?
Okay. I hate to think that 55 is senior now. you know, here's another example of where we can work together on trying to project ahead. I mean, your district's gone through many changes through the years, closing schools, redistributing the children, busing children. I mean, you know, at one point, Old Town had our children going from Old Town were actually going to two different schools. But I think now they all go to La Patera. Is that no? Still going to two different schools? Okay. This is what you're seeing today is pretty much built out of our city. There aren't any more, unless I'm wrong, there aren't any more areas that are zoned for development. So hopefully what you see here, you'll be able to project out 5 and 10 years and trying to see where we're going to be as a community. Hollister Village is doing the demographic study. They started that when they first opened up because their original goal was to move more of our employees in there. And there are no students per se because unlike what happens in Isla Vista, Hollister Village doesn't take, doesn't allow their parents, the students' parents to co-sign on the rentals. So either they afford to do it on their own or they don't move in there, which kind of changes the demographics again.
We did, we have received, I believe, about 10 students at Elwood School from Hollister Village. So maybe a total of 10 to 20 between Hideaway and Hollister Village for Elwood School.
So for a district, it's not really great impact when you only get 10 kids.
Well, and interestingly, Elwood is currently our most transient school. Well, they have gained something like, 30 students from the beginning of the school year this year, but that represents an outgo of some 60 and an influx of 90 or something like that. It's really a volatile population there. And part of that is related to visiting professors and things from UCSB and such. So we're certainly watching that.
I was going to say the impact is based on what happened on the campus with the UCSB. My question to you, Mr. Banning, and maybe your staff, our staff has tried to figure out where we think these children are going. Can you give us a picture? Is this accurate, or is your district looking at, you know, at one point there was talk of even opening up a new school based on what was happening on the west end of town. I don't know if those discussions are in, or with this development looking down 5-10 years down the road, is there a need to look at additional school sites?
I would say we're always wanting to look at that, and right now the situation is one that we are projecting, and we haven't gotten formal study on this, but based on what we've been hearing from Santa Barbara and looking at birth rates and the migration in and out of the city, the projections appear to be as a district that we will continue to lose students for the next decade or so. That said, it's very possible that even in the midst of that, we will be looking at crowded facilities in areas, particularly Isla Vista and the west end of the community. And potentially Kellogg as well, depending on what the kind of demographics coming into the Christmas Tree Farm homes are.
So, yeah, I just wanted to clarify. The
The information, the 10 or so students that are coming in that from the Hideaway, Hollister Village, is that how, is that final? Not final, obviously, but do you have, they're fairly occupied at Hollister Village now.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That 10 is considering, you're not waiting for an onslaught of new data or anything like that?
That's not for Hollister Village. It's I'm less certain about where they are with the building out and the occupancy at the Hideaway.
Okay, but that's pretty much the...
Right, where the real impact is coming is the village at Los Caneros, where 400 homes particularly. But at the rate of the generation factors that we're seeing, even if those came on all at once, we wouldn't anticipate more than, I don't know, a few classrooms of additional students. And the school has the capacity to manage those. Although one thing we learn about schools is that there's never an empty classroom. There's always something to do with them, but there's always ways to move particular activities around. So we think that in the short term that we're going to be able to manage this and then make some decisions about whether there needs to be any kind of district boundary changes or other programs that might create opportunities for children attending schools outside of their neighborhood. I want to take a look more carefully at this map and our district map because I think there may be if I see the old town village townhomes condos you have that listed as Hollister, I suspect that would be that might be a La Patera area. I'd like to look this over and then just get you some data back about what our current boundaries would say about where they're going.
That, if I could, that was really where I was going with my question, because Village at Los Caneros is showing Isla Vista. Mm-hmm.
And that's correct.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wouldn't La Patera be closer?
We have tended, other than in the areas of Old Town where we're busing, to try and not have kids attending school on the other side of 101 from where the housing is.
Okay, so that's Isla Vista because of the impact of the busing from...
And actually, where's Isla Vista here?
Yeah, the current boundaries would have that development in the Isla Vista residential.
Right, I'm just looking at distance. As the crow flies, you're right, it may be a little closer to La Patera. But in reality, I think we're within fractions of a mile one way or another on those.
Oh, I just wanted to comment that when we first heard about the number of developments coming, we expected more of an impact for our district, and it has been interesting that there hasn't been, and there could be different theories as to why, but some of it may be the affordability for young families.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. And so it's put us on a little bit more of a, we really need to wait and see what's happening to the demographics. At the same time, we are looking at putting a more formal demographic study out.
And I also wanted to comment when Superintendent Banning referred to, our district losing students from many of these schools, our families, from what we hear, are very happy with our district. The reason for the moves have been mostly socioeconomic.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm sorry to belabor this point, but, I live 3 minutes from here. I walked here this morning, and when my son was going to elementary school, he was La Patera. Mm-hmm. So is this area still La Patera?
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we're going La Patera, Isla Vista, then La Patera again. So
it's contiguous, the La Patera.
But the village at Los Caneros is between here and the school.
Mm-hmm. No,
it's the other side of the freeway. No, yeah. La Patera is...
The village is on the other side of the freeway, though.
Pardon me?
Yeah. The village is on the other side of the freeway, so we don't usually have children.
I was talking about the village at Los Caneros.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's on that side of the freeway, correct?
The Village of Los Caneros is across the street from City Hall.
Which is on the other side of the freeway.
Which is on this side of the freeway, which would be on the La Patera side of the freeway.
No.
No.
It's on the Islas.
It's south of the freeway.
Yeah. You cross over the freeway.
Oh, just barely. You're right.
Yeah.
I kind of think of the freeway being on the other side. I wish it was.
We could all redesign it.
Yeah, I wanted to really thank the council and staff for putting this together. It really helps us have a long-range view of what development might be coming and allows us to be proactive in doing things like the survey that Superintendent Banning mentioned for Village at Los Carneros to give us an idea of what we might be expecting so that we can prepare.
I'd like to echo that, too. And it's particularly interesting that you say this is pretty much it. You're not expecting another huge...
At this point, no.
set of houses. So that's good for us to factor into our deliberations also.
And also our district has had a philosophy of valuing stability. So we don't like to alter attendance boundaries or, you know, maximize to the student where the boundaries might be shifted if that's going to disrupt families' relationships. So it's better to, a big shift, a big impetus to add a school or change boundaries. We otherwise prefer not to.
It's one of the more disruptive things we have to do. Yeah. So we avoid it at all costs.
Thank you. Sure. Okay, and last we have a Hollister Class 1 Bikeway Project update. Screen.
Thank you, Ms. President. We wanted to take just a few moments to briefly update the board on a project that we have coming up in the near future that will be constructed on Hollister Avenue on the west end of town, leading up to the Elwood school site. So Teresa Lopes is going to give an overview and should be happy to answer any questions. I know we're short on time, but it's a brief presentation. Thank you.
Good afternoon, members of the board and members of the council. I will keep this brief. So this is the Hollister Class 1 Bike Path Project, our Safe Routes to School project. And for those who may not be familiar with the project, the limits are from Pacific Oaks Road to Elwood Elementary School along the south side of Hollister Avenue. So a brief project description. The project will construct a 14-foot wide Class 1 multi-use path along the south side of Hollister. The path will be separated from Hollister Avenue with a 5-foot landscape buffer. We are reducing the width of the existing traffic lanes to 11 feet, and then we'll also be reconstructing the existing raised medians and adding landscape in those medians where possible. And the Class 2 bike lanes on Hollister will remain, meaning after the project's done, it will have both the Class 1 on the south side and then the Class 2 bike lanes on each side of Hollister Avenue. And the project proposes to construct special crossings at the side streets which intersect with Hollister Avenue. This is just a typical section to show the project. The top picture is what's existing now, and then the bottom is the changes with the project. And as you can see, there's the 5-foot Class 2 bike lanes, the landscape planter area separating the new path from the street, and then the 14-foot wide path will be separated into an 8-foot dedicated area for bicycles and a 4-foot dedicated path for pedestrians. And this slide just shows a picture of what we are planning to do at the crossing of the side streets. So where the bike path, multi-purpose path, will cross the side street, we plan on having special signing as well as special pavement marking with a crosswalk for pedestrians and a crossing for the bicycles. And the reason for the colorful and very visual crossings is to alert drivers and people in the area that you're crossing a class one bike path, multi-purpose path here, and so keeps drivers more aware when they see that. And so the good news is we are going to construction. We plan to award a construction contract at City Council meeting on March 21st. We will begin construction in late April, early May. And we estimate the project to take 5 to 6 months. So we anticipate construction being complete in October, November of this year. And you may be thinking that seems like a long window for construction, but as well as putting in the new bike path, we'll also be doing rehab on Hollister Avenue, rehabbing the roadway section as well. And so during construction, one of the top priorities is keeping the construction area safe, particularly for the students attending Elwood School. And there will be a little bit of an overlap during when construction starts and before school ends for the summer. And the way we plan to phase the project is that any work that's going to be taking place, which will affect the existing sidewalk, meaning demolish the old sidewalk before the new path is complete, is planned to be done during the summer months when school isn't in session. So it'll have the least impact to the kids going back and forth to school. And during construction, there will be provisions that a clear and traversable path will be available at all times, even during that time when the existing sidewalk is demolished, for pedestrians and bicycles, and that we will have that pathway clearly delineated and separated from construction areas and traffic with the movable concrete barriers and delineators. And when necessary, we will also have flaggers available during those months that overlap school time to make sure that to help children who are commuting to school navigate if they need to cross any areas of construction that's going on. And last thing is that during the project, the city will be in constant communication with the public to keep the residents, the businesses, and the school notified and aware of the project schedule and the progress, and then any changes in the traffic patterns during the as the stages switch back and forth, and then any traffic control that's going to be in place, and make sure that everybody is notified and aware of what's going on. And that's all I had. So if there's any questions.
Thank you. I really appreciate the construction phasing and how you planned out to be least impactful.
Yeah, we made sure we did get that extension so that we could phase the construction to happen in the summer. So that was good. Okay.
Is the philosophy behind the class one and class two both on the south side, because the class two would still be commuters and faster cyclists, and the class one with the younger children?
Yes, that's correct. So the road warriors can still, don't have to worry about running over kids on a tricycle or something, but yeah.
And there's street lights at both ends, right? There's a street light at Elwood School,
yes,
crossing Hollister, and there's also lights at Pacific Oaks.
At Pacific Oaks and Entrance Road. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Well, that's the conclusion of our agenda items. If there are any other comments, Madam Mayor.
Madam President, I just want to thank everybody that worked to put this together today. I've been hoping that we could all get together for a while, and we learn a lot from each other. I think we need to continue to collaborate with each other. I think it's really important. These are all our kids. So, both my daughters graduated from Goleta Union School District, and now I have a grandson at Mountain View. So I'm back in the school district again. So. It's been a wonderful experience. I brag everywhere I go about Goleta Union School District. So, but I think these conversations are really important, and I hope we continue to have them. Yeah. So thank you for all the work putting this together, and our staff as well. Thank you.
Thank you. I will echo that. I think we certainly share a willingness to want to continue to have, these joint meetings to learn from one another and continue that collaboration. And I certainly echo the thank you to staff for all the work that went into the presentations today. Thank you. All right. Well, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Thank you.